and more details can be found on our website rte.ie/Mooney.
So methane is actually carbon and hydrogen, CH4, as opposed to carbon dioxide, which means there's a lot of energy in it. Now, where does the methane come from that we are worrying about if it's such a rare gas in our atmosphere?
So it naturally occurs at about 700 parts per billion, which is a very, very small number. But now
that comes from decomposing vegetation with lack of oxygen.
Yes.
Will-o'-the-wisps and bugs and that sort of
thing. But today it stands at 2100 parts per billion, which is a huge increase. And that increase is down to concrete, it's down to agriculture, primarily rice fields and cows and ruminants. And it's also down to other human activities, particularly the combustion of fossil fuels.
Continuing now, our series here on Mooney Goes Wild for the month of July. Each week we hear from a leading voice on the critical environmental challenge facing our planet, climate change. Ireland is currently 85% dependent on fossil fuels, and its greenhouse gas emissions are rapidly rising. Beef and dairy production are central here, as grass is a cheap way to feed cows. But as methanogens break down grass in the stomach, they produce methane, a potent greenhouse gas. Under the new Climate Change Action Plan, the government has made a commitment to reduce greenhouse emissions in agriculture, resulting in a fall in the national herd, particularly in the beef sector. Calls to address methane emissions, both urgently and aggressively, have long been made by leading global expert on climate change, Professor Peter Thorne. Professor of Geography at Maynooth University, Peter is also Director of the Irish Climate Analysis and Research Unit, as well as a coordinating lead author to the Intergovernmental Plan on Climate Change as it enters its sixth assessment cycle. This is the most senior position an Irish scientist has ever held within the IPCC, which is the leading international body for assessing the science related to climate change. Éineann Ní Lána met with Peter to discuss the critical role the reduction of methane emissions play in climate change policy planning.
Now, I can understand how you can get it from cows. I can understand how you can get it from vegetation. Concrete. How can concrete contribute to methane?
Concrete production involves the emissions of both methane and carbon dioxide as part of the process.
So when they're actually making the concrete, it's an end product. Right, but I mean, in Ireland, because we don't really have paddy fields yet, we are considering our methane levels really from a point of view of agriculture, from cattle. Is that not the case?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, how do cattle produce methane? We eat food, you eat food, only about a few pints and maybe a few ham sandwiches, you might produce a bit of methane, but nothing to worry about. But cattle have a different story entirely. They can't blame bad pints and sandwiches for their production of methane, can they?
No, indeed. Cattle are producing methane. They have a different digestive system to us. About 90% of the methane comes out of the mouth and the rest comes out of the back end.
Yeah. And this is because they eat grass, or is it because of the fact that they have four stomachs and the bacteria break down their vegetarian diet?
Yes, it's the bacteria in their four guts. It's a totally different digestive system to humans.
Now, I was talking to people in the Department of Agriculture, and there is talk that you can give something to cattle as an additive to their feed, which reduces the amount of methane that they produce. Is this a runner?
There are multiple ways that you can change methane efficiency of cattle. Absolutely, it's feed, it's breeding. There are other ways that you can do it, but it would be impossible to completely remove methane emissions from cattle.
In Ireland, we have more cattle than people, and obviously any of these digesting animals, these ruminants like sheep, will produce methane as well. So do we know what level of methane is coming out of cattle at the moment? Year.
Yes, you can measure a typical cattle emission per year. There have been numerous experiments globally on this, so we have a fair idea how much comes out of each cow, and we know that we can breed cattle to be more efficient, and we can, as we said, change the feedstock and other things. So there are ways that we can do it, but there will be methane emissions from cattle.
But if we can reduce it, I mean, is it a significant percentage that these will, if you had them all your ducks in a row?
So, yes, so we can save a lot of methane emissions through such activities, but we certainly can't remove them all. I guess the figure would be somewhere in the region of 30 to 40% would be the best guess at the moment with current technology and breeding programmes.
So that would be a reduction of 30 to 40%. OK, so you have your methane. It's a high-energy gas. It's obviously what we use in our gas cookers and our gas cars, because when you burn CH4, you get the energy from it and it becomes the byproduct is carbon dioxide. So if we're talking like this, it isn't a stable gas and it doesn't last forever in the atmosphere. So how does it break down? And you were saying the decadoidal as opposed to the centennial emission levels or centennial levels in the atmosphere vary depending on its ability to break down. Tell us more about that.
Yes, so methane is a relatively short-lived gas. It's of the order 10 to 12 years. And that means that each molecule of methane that's emitted hangs about in the atmosphere for about 10 to 12 years.
And then what happens to it?
Now, what happens to it then is it undergoes oxidation in the atmosphere. That oxidation converts it to water vapour and carbon dioxide. And the problem with carbon dioxide is that carbon dioxide lasts a lot longer.
And, of course, carbon dioxide is also a greenhouse gas that holds on to heat. So we have our methane and we have it holding on to much more heat, and we have it lasting for considerable lengths of time. So if we had no cattle, no vegetation, no paddy fields, what do you say the baseline was?
So prior to the Industrial Revolution, it was relatively stable at about 700 parts per billion, and today we stand at in excess of 2,100 parts
so it's
per
tripled.
Billion.
It's tripled. Yeah, whereas our carbon dioxide levels have gone from, what did they reckon, 270 to about 400 parts per million.
Yes, 410 as of last week.
Yeah. So then this is having a significant contribution to holding on to heat and to climate change, do you reckon?
Yes, so methane alone accounts for roughly 30% of the radiative imbalance since the Industrial Revolution, which means methane is accounting for 30% of the warming that we've seen over the last century and a bit. So it's of the order 0.3 to 0.35 degrees centigrade of the warming we've seen is down to methane emissions.
So therefore it would be quite a significant event if we could reduce this. Now you said we can reduce our cattle with wonderful technology by 35% at best. So maybe we should stop eating and drinking milk and eating beef. Maybe we should change our diet. How would you reckon this would work?
I would hate to see an island without any cattle at all. But I do think we need to reduce our cattle numbers over time. And I think there are multiple reasons for doing that are independent of climate change. We are effectively a monoculture. In large parts of Irish agriculture, we are uniquely at risk to things like new diseases. Just imagine a foot and mouth or a BSE type situation and the havoc that would wreak upon the rural economy of Ireland.
Yeah, 55% of Ireland is covered in grass.
Yes.
Just grass. I mean, never mind agriculture in general, but 55% of it is actually grass. But I'm just thinking, we are particularly famous, or particularly special, if you like, because much of our beef is reared out of doors. I mean, there's all these threats of floods of Brazilian beef coming in, and they're reared indoors. Could you not, in some way, remove the methane from indoor-bred cattle, indoor-reared cattle, and not let it out into the atmosphere?
So there are ways that you can do. You can actually use anaerobic digesters to remove natural biogas, which has lower climate impact. There are numerous things we can do to box clever to make a difference here. But fundamentally, we need to reduce the cattle numbers in Ireland eventually. And I think it's in everyone's interests to do so, because a more diversified rural sector is a more resilient rural sector. We are less dependent upon the whims of a single market. We are less at risk of catastrophic disease outbreaks or other activities.
And given that the human race needs protein, are there other ways of harvesting protein? Insects, perhaps? Have you any thoughts on that?
Well, that would be going quite a way outside my expertise area, but definitely, I mean, there are insects, there are various proteins that can be got from vegetables of various sorts. So, I mean, it's not impossible, and if you look at Lancet and World Health Organization, they certainly say we are eating too much meat as a society for health reasons.
Now, you were saying paddy fields are also a source of this, and I mean, paddy fields are typically associated with countries with enormous populations, such as India and China, where we have 1 billion and 1.5 billion people living. Mm-hmm. I mean, do they contribute significantly more methane than the animals, than the cattle and the sheep?
So they certainly contribute significant methane. I don't believe they provide as much methane per hectare as cattle would do. But I would need to check.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, if we reduced our cattle, I mean, we're still considered to be better for us to eat vegetables rather than that and rice. I mean, we can't really consider reducing our rice production, can we, on the world level, if we have that many people depending on it?
We have to live with a certain level of methane emissions, but every scenario that keeps us globally below 1.5 or 2 degrees talks to really rapid reductions in methane levels to about half what they are today in the next 20 to 30 years. Basically, there are no plausible scenarios, future scenarios that keep us below 1.5 or even 2 degrees that don't include substantial and immediate reductions in methane emissions.
And you really would put your house on that. That all the talk we have about fossil fuels, all the talk we have about reducing carbon dioxide, have to include methane as well, or it won't get us down below that magic number.
Yes, absolutely. We cannot keep below 1.5 or 2 degrees without addressing methane in addition to carbon dioxide.
There's another awful scenario about methane, and that's the tipping point in places where there's permafrost. That if we get warm enough for the permafrost to melt, those areas where our the bogs and those wetlands that are permanently frozen will stop being permanently frozen, and huge amounts of methane will be released then, won't it?
That's the possibility. That's certainly something that can't be discounted. It's one of the tipping points. There's another one, which is methane hydrates, which are held in the Arctic to near the floor of the ocean, and they're kept there because the ocean is cooler above them, so it's stable. If the ocean warms, then there's nothing to stop those degassing, so the gas comes out from being trapped near the ocean bottom and out into the atmosphere.
Like lifting the lid off your Coca-Cola bottle or your bottle of champagne. Once you take the cover off, the gas comes out.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're saying is working on a temperature one. So, and then of course, if we get those, I mean, methane is such a much more malevolent climate changing gas that if you get those quantities into the world, it's a runaway scenario at that point.
Well, it's certainly a very, very large change in the climate system that would occur quickly if that happened.
So your recommendations then to the people of Ireland and the Irish cattle situation, I mean, there's only whatever many cattle here. Is it worth killing ourselves here when there's such vast quantities of cattle in places like Brazil?
It's worth doing our bit. It's worth doing it in a managed way. We're not talking about, I would hate to see, as I said, an island without cattle. It's about managing the cattle numbers down. It's about finding marketplaces for very low carbon, very climate friendly cattle, and it's about diversifying our rural sector so that we have the opportunity to have still a robust and vibrant rural island, perhaps one with a few less cattle.
And of course, if people eat less meat in their daily diets, then that will reduce the demand per head of person for meat, which also has to be good.
Yes, that's good for reasons that go way beyond climate into personal health that are really important that we grapple with. If you think about the health budget of the country, anything that reduces the demand for health services is positive.
So enjoy your juicy steak, but much less frequently, and one that is produced in an environmentally friendly, extensive way rather than intensive way.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you.
Peter Thorne, Professor of Geography at Maynooth University and Director of the Irish Climate Analysis and Research Unit, speaking with Aina Ní Leabhar.